The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Alrighty, welcome to a brand new week. Yes, it's Tuesday, but our week here begins on Tuesdays. It's just the way it is for now, so we'll deal with it. I am Nicole Sandler. Thank you for being here. It's a weird week because we got the 4th of July on Thursday. A lot of stuff to talk about. So with no further ado, we'll start with a bit of the funny. And for that, we go back in time to Sunday night and John Oliver's monologue. I think it was his monologue. John Oliver on Last Week Tonight.
Trump was overseas this week, meeting with his favorite authoritarians. He joked with Putin about meddling in U.S. elections, called Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman a friend of mine, and just this morning popped across the DMZ to North Korea with Kim Jong-un, while seemingly being thrilled that he'd been invited over.
It's just an honor to be with you, and it was an honor that you asked me to step over that line, and I was proud to step over the line. I thought you might do that. I wasn't sure, but I was ready to do it, and I want to thank you. It's been great.
Oh! That's actually nice. So Trump wanted to step over the line, was ready to do it, but waited until he received affirmative consent. What a refreshing change of pace for him. maybe Trump's mantra going forward should be, treat women with the same respect you show murderous autocrats. He's growing. Good for him. And the other big international diplomacy news of the week concerns Jared Kushner, Slenderman's weird nephew. Jared's Middle East peace plan has now been over 2 years in the making, and even before taking office, Trump was hyping it like this.
If you can't produce peace in the Middle East, nobody can. Okay? All my life, I've been hearing that's the toughest deal in the world to make. And I've seen it. But I have a feeling that Jared is going to do a great job.
Of course he is! Jared's racked up an impressive list of accomplishments in his 38 years on Earth, from having a very smooth, shiny face to end of list. Well, this week, Jared announced his Peace to Prosperity plan during a conference in Bahrain with a stirring speech.
The Peace to Prosperity vision is a fun framework for a brighter and more prosperous future.
The man is a once-in-a-generation orator. He's like Cicero reincarnated as a garbage disposal. And look, while that may not be Jared's real voice, what he presented this week is also not a real plan. It is a vision that fits somewhere between economic wish list and half-remembered rich boy wet dream. Because essentially, it describes hypothetical investments in Palestine and its neighbors worth more than $50 billion once peace is achieved. But achieving peace is the really important part. Without that, you got nothing. And Jared punted announcing that part of the plan until later this year. And the more you listen to him talk about his vision, the less he seemed to actually say.
So how do we begin to make this change? We need the right plan, and we need to create the right environment. If we have a real peace and there's not a fear of people doing terrorism, then all of a sudden we can really thin the borders and allow for a much faster flow of goods and people.
What?
Yes, after years of thinking about it, Jared's arrived at the conclusion that the Middle East would be better off if people stopped doing terrorism. Just think about the chain of events that led him to that moment. Jared had that idea, no doing terrorism, and thought, that's an awesome point, I'm going to write that down. So he did, and then he went to sleep, exhausted by the thought. He woke up the next morning, read what he'd written, and he was like, yep, nailed it, I'm a good boy. Then he said that point, unembarrassed, out loud in front of actual human beings, which should be humiliating. And look, I'm far from the only one critical of his plan. Dan Kurtzer, a former ambassador to Israel, reportedly said, I would give this so-called plan a C- from an undergraduate student. Although, I doubt that actually bothers Jared, because a C- is the trust fund boy's A+. And to give you some sense of Jared's odds of success, I should point out no Palestinian government officials attended Jared's conference, possibly because they don't see Jared or Trump as neutral mediators. And why would they? Jared's family is so close to Netanyahu, the prime minister once stayed at their home and slept in Jared's bedroom.
Ew.
In what I'd imagine was Jared's race car bed under a shelf of other kids' soccer trophies that his dad bought for him.
Oh, my God. Oh, John Oliver is just so brilliant. We could have kept going with that, but, you know, time. Just a reminder that John Oliver is on HBO every Sunday night, and they usually then put the show up on YouTube the next day, at least the vast majority of the show. Always worth watching. Always good stuff from John Oliver. And with that, we officially begin a new week here at the Nicole Sandler Show, and things are just as batshit crazy as you would expect on an average Tuesday in Trump's America. We'll get into that with Gotta Laugh. After all, it is Tuesday. But before we start, I just have to fill you in on a couple of things that happened yesterday and things that I tweeted about that got more response, more retweets and more likes and comments than probably anything else I've ever tweeted. And there were two sort of unrelated tweets about healthcare. So we'll start with the one from yesterday morning. I had an appointment at the local hospital where I had to get a test, an esophagram. Basically, I have what they think is a hiatal hernia, which causes something in the esophagus, and it's not fun. It's stomach issues. And so as I tweeted this morning, at hospital for an esophagram, at check-in where I had to sign five forms. Yes, there were at least five forms, all having to do with insurance and assignment and paying bills, right? So I had to sign five forms. I asked what my share of the costs will be. And the woman behind the desk said, your copay is 20%. And I said, of what? What's the cost of the procedure? Oh, we won't know that until it's billed. Excuse me? Any other service or item that you go to purchase or service that you go to have done, you can get a price up front. Now, what I should have done is demanded a price on this thing so I know what my out-of-pocket costs will be. But frankly, I didn't. I didn't because I feel defeated when dealing with these health insurance crooks. And that's exactly what they are. Now, the woman at the hospital, it wasn't her fault. The same way it wasn't the fault of the idiotic so-called navigator at healthcare.gov that I spoke with yesterday. See, my daughter Allison is now 20 years old, and she has her own insurance because she works. She's not going to college. So she has a full-time job, but it's not really a full-time job. It's more she's an independent contractor. So she does she basically gets paid, but she doesn't get benefits. So she had to buy her own health insurance. Now, when we started the year, she got a subsidy. Her payment, I think, was like $171 a month or something like that. And it was ridiculous limit. So she had a sky-high deductible, ridiculous copays. I mean, to see a primary care physician, it costs her $30 on top of her premiums. To see a specialist, it's $65. So anytime she wants to go, say, to a therapist, $65. It's insane. She's 20 years old, just trying to start out. And, you know, there's no way she's going to get on her feet. She lives here. She does contribute towards the household expenses. But she can't afford a car. She can't afford to move out. And now she's so now she lost her subsidy because she makes too much money. So now a healthy 20-year-old for basic health insurance that actually covers things, it'll cost her $371 a month. She has a $3,500 deductible, $65 copay for a specialist, $30 for a primary care doctor. This is bullshit. We need Medicare for all. I tweeted out what I just said to you, what I just read, and most people agreed with me, and it's highway robbery, and it's sickening. A healthy young person shouldn't have to pay $400 a month plus a ridiculous amount anytime she wants to go see a doctor. It shouldn't be that way. And so I was surprised that somebody, yeah, and Diane Russell in chat room says, true, Nicole, but if he didn't have insurance, going to a specialist would cost over $100 for an office visit. Right, but she wouldn't be paying $371 a month on top of that for the privilege of only paying $65 to see a specialist. Not that she sees many specialists, but my God, she's a young woman, maybe who needs to go see a gynecologist for healthy women care. It is just wrong. It shouldn't be this way. And actually, I was surprised that a couple of, like I said, these were my most liked and retweeted tweets ever. The one about my esophagram and the hospital not being able to tell me what the procedure I'm about to undergo costs. And then this, my daughter, my healthy 20-year-old daughter, having to pay $400 a month plus ridiculous copays and out-of-pocket expenses just to see a doctor. It's not right. It's not how it should be. And yet, a couple of the people who responded to my tweet said, "Well, that's about right. That's what it should cost." No, it is not what it should cost. She shouldn't have to reach into her pocket to pay over $400 a month for the privilege of seeing a doctor. It's wrong. And I know she's healthy, and part of me wants to tell her, fuck it, go without insurance. If you need to see a doctor, just go on self-pay. But what happens if she gets cancer? I speak as one who knows. Cancer creeps up on you with no warning. So I don't know what to tell her. This is why I told her, this is why you vote for Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, because we need Medicare for all. That way you'd pay your taxes, you'd be covered. Yes, you'd pay a little more in taxes, but you wouldn't have to put out $400 a month or $1,000 a month or more for health insurance. It'll be covered in your taxes. Plus, you don't have to pay a $65 copay. The same thing under my insurance that I go to my doctor and it's $25. It's not fair and it's not right. If I could pack her up and move to Canada or move to England or move to France or move somewhere else where healthcare is a human right, I would do it. But I'm stuck here. I'm a 59-year-old woman who can't get a fucking job and has to pay this government extortion to get health care. It's not right. We need Medicare for all. Am I making myself clear? Good. God. I haven't even gotten into my expenses. But then again, I'm 59 years old. Mine should be more expensive. It's disgusting. A young person in this country cannot afford health insurance. It's not supposed to be that way. All right, there's a lot going on today. So I'll tell you what, we'll take a quick time out. We'll take care of what's news. We'll do the recorded version today. And then we'll be back to do it live with Gotta Laugh. Next, it's the Tuesday Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Reports of lewd and cruel social media posts about migrants allegedly made by Border Patrol agents are being investigated. The posts were found in a closed Facebook group for current and former Border Patrol agents. This according to the investigative reporting group ProPublica. The page reportedly features sexually explicit posts about Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and comments questioning the authenticity of a photo of a drowned man and his young daughter. 21 House Democrats, including AOC, toured facilities in Texas where they were forced to relinquish their phones and not allowed to take pictures. They questioned whether they were seeing real conditions or a sanitized version. AOC tweeted that people are drinking out of toilets. The head of operations for U.S. Border Patrol denies this, saying there are, quote, ample supplies in the facilities. Ocasio-Cortez also called out the behavior of some of the Border Patrol agents, saying she saw some agents laughing in front of members of Congress and screamed at others for trying to take selfies with her before she toured the facility. Quote, I was not safe from the officers, she said.
After visiting three of those centers today, New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeted, quote, now I've seen the inside of these facilities. It's not just the kids, it's everyone. People drinking out of toilets, officers laughing in front of members of Congress. I brought it up to their superiors. They said, officers are under stress and act out sometimes. no accountability. CNN's Nick Valencia is in Clint, Texas, where one migrant detention center for children is located. Nick, some of these members of Congress just spoke. What else are they saying?
Well, they were in there for about an hour total, Jake, and it was Chairman Joaquin Castro that spoke first for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. He called the conditions dehumanizing, saying that this country is in a very dark place.
When we went into the cell, it was clear that the water was not running. There was a toilet, but there was no running water for people to drink. In fact, one of the women said that she was told by an agent to drink water out of the toilet.
Some of the members emerged emotional. It was Representative Ayala Presley who came out and was comforted briefly while she made her impassioned comments saying that she will always speak truth to power. These congressmen and women saw things today that they wish they hadn't, Jake.
What a difference a debate makes. Senator Kamala Harris's strong performance in the first presidential debate of the season launched her into the top tier of the Democratic primary race. This is former Vice President Joe Biden took a major hit and saw his lead almost entirely evaporate. According to a new CNN poll released Monday afternoon, Harris has more than doubled her support since May, jumping to 17% from 8%. Meanwhile, Biden's now once 14-point lead over Bernie Sanders has plummeted to a 5-point lead over second-place Harris. In this new CNN poll, Elizabeth Warren sits in third place at 15%, while Sanders falls to fourth with 14%. No one else among the 25 declared candidates hits 5%. The next debates are July 30th and 31st in Detroit, with the third scheduled for mid-September, when the threshold rises for candidate inclusions. Well, after first postponing his announced roundup of undocumented immigrants, Donald Trump announced that said raids and deportations by Immigration and Customs Enforcement will happen after Independence Day. Quote, after July 4th, a lot of people are going to be brought back out. People that come up may be here for a short while, but they're going to be gone. They're going back to their countries, said Trump to reporters on Monday. They go back home. ICE is going to be apprehending them and bringing them back. And we have a very good system for that. And it's been very effective. And it will be very effective. Ugh. Trump also said U.S. tariffs on all imports from Mexico, which he threatened last month, are now on hold because he said the Mexican government is cooperating with the United States to slow the migrant surge from Central America across its border with Guatemala. At least two Army tanks have arrived in Washington ahead of a 4th of July celebration that Donald Trump has hijacked and says will include military hardware. The Washington Post's Greg Miller noting that Donald Trump says the July 4th celebration will have, quote, brand new Sherman tanks, and noting that Sherman tanks haven't been in service since 1957.
Trump has requested an array of military vehicles, including tanks and fighter jets, to be showcased to the Salute to America event in Washington on Thursday evening. The president has taken it upon himself to arrange the festivities, including his own speech from the Lincoln Memorial with military flyovers. But many details have not yet been determined, now with just days to go.
So salute to America. And I'm going to be here. I'm going to say a few words, and we're going to have planes going overhead, the best fighter jets in the world, and other planes too. And we're going to have some tanks stationed outside. Got to be pretty careful with the tanks because the roads have a tendency to
gag me now.
Tanks, so we have to put them in certain areas. But we have the brand new Sherman tanks.
Engineers have canvassed the Lincoln Memorial to determine whether the weight of the military vehicles might ruin the historic site. That's according to Washington Post. The Post reports the price tag for this event could be in the millions of dollars just for the air power alone.
And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it alone. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, it is that time of the week again. Every Tuesday, Gotta Laugh joins me to shoot the shit about what's in the news. But first we got to get her on the line. Hello?
Why, yes, you've reached the Ivanka Butts into a G20 convo with World Leaders Hotline.
All right.
Press one if you think the first thing Ivanka said was, Daddy sent me over to remind you all that you still owe him love letters.
Okay.
Right, Daddy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Daddy, not now. Press 2 if you think Ivanka also said, you guys all know that I'm totally into the whole G20 thing, right? In fact, I take vitamin G20 every day to maintain my perfectly arched eyebrows and brain smarts.
All right.
Press 3 if you think Ivanka tried to impress everybody by asking, how do you all like this dress that my Chinese sweatshop children made me?
Oh, God.
God.
The best is, what's her name, Marie Lagarde, the head of the IMF, who's now leaving. Lagarde, I don't know her first name.
But she just got...
Oh, my God.
The head of... Now I've forgotten. I just put this out on a tweet. You think I'd remember half of what I tweet? No!
Right.
She just got another position.
Christine Lagarde. That's her name. Christine Lagarde.
Christine Lagarde. Thank you. Let me see if I can find what she just got.
But the bottom line is that means there's going to be an opening at the World Bank, which is what Ivanka thinks she's qualified for anyway.
That's right. Oh, here. She just was nominated to be the new ECB president.
Okay.
Anywho. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Or vice. Or like you said, she'll become vice president by default when whatever was bugging Pence will come to light. Oh, my God. I have tweets about that, by the way, about this whole mysterious series of events that
took going
place
on today. Well, let's talk about it because I haven't mentioned it. And there is some sort of a weird global geopolitical mystery going on. Now, it's probably nothing because, you know, this administration, you know, just saying it's probably nothing.
But maybe it's something to distract us from something else. So,
well, exactly.
So here's Chris Geidner has been keeping us up on it. And he says, note, he deleted an original tweet.
Well, start with the original. Let's talk about what got us all a couple of hours ago to go, what?
That's what I'm going to read you. He tweeted out one from Steve Herman. I'm sorry, because it's a grab. I can't tell you exactly who that is. But there's no cause for concern about VP being summoned back to Washington from New Hampshire, says Hogan Gidley. We can confirm VP is in the White House now, but unclear if he's meeting with POTUS. Officials here trying to downplay any sense of crisis and insisting nothing wrong with POTUS. Breaking from Amichai Stein, or Mika, I don't know how you say it, unconfirmed reports at the EU Commission Security Council has been called for a meeting. Breaking, Putin canceling his plans for today. The Kremlin says he will be meeting with his defense minister very urgently. Now, all these things were happening at the same time.
This was a few hours ago. There was the one tweet that Pence was on his way just moments from landing in New Hampshire when they turned the plane around and he went back to the White House to deal with
Which
an
was
emergency.
Wrong.
Right, but I'm just telling you, this is what unfolded.
So
that was the first one. Then we hear that there's an unconfirmed report at the EU Commission Security Council, which apparently there is no such thing, but some Amichai Stein, some alleged journalist, it's tweeted that out. And then also tweeted, breaking, Putin canceling his plans today. The Kremlin said he'll be meeting with his defense minister very urgently. So those three things together made Twitter freak out and go, oh, my God, what happened?
What is happening?
And I'm thinking maybe Trump died. Maybe Trump died. Maybe he choked on that KFC chicken bone and it's all over. But the white foam coming out of his mouth.
Or he died from sucking himself off, but that's another story.
That's another story. So anyway, the ensuing last few hours, journalists on Twitter have been trying to get to the bottom of this. Some people have come forth. We learned that, again, there is no such thing as an EU Commission Security Council. So there's that. And
Chris Geidner said, note that Twitter-verified correspondent who made the EU-related claim, Amichai Stein, has since deleted the tweet and not acknowledged that he did so, let alone explain what happened. Then Jennifer Jacobs of Bloomberg said, I'm going to read you two in a row from her, but the first one is... First, Eliza Sabinius quoted in a tweet, Pence abruptly canceled the planned trip. First of all, he got as far as the runway and then came home. He never left.
Okay.
She said, why did
again,
Pence scrap?
I don't believe any of it. As far as I know, he was almost in New Hampshire. Because when they say something, we do not believe them because they have a track record of lying to us incessantly. Okay.
Exactly. In fact, I tweeted out that should terrify all of us because none of us are believing anything.
Not a word they say.
So, oh God, Jennifer Jacobs says, why did Pence scrap New Hampshire trip after staff already on Air Force Two at airport? Quote, and this is from his chief of staff. It's not a national security issue and not for any sort of health concern. And then it's not a personal or family issue, Mark Short said. Will someone be fired soon? No. Press, can you tell us what happened? Why cancel the New Hampshire trip? Mark Short, who was with Pence when VP was called back to the White House, there will be more later. Press, when later? Mark Short, weeks from now.
What? What? Yep. See, this is the problem when you don't have a working press office in the White House, when there are no daily briefings, when the White House does not communicate with the press that is there to do their job in covering them. This is a travesty.
Chris Hayes is saying, is the White House going to make us play 20 questions on this?
Right.
There were all kinds of people who were responding exactly as we are, both in the press and just, you know, regular Twitter people. Like, Twitter lit up with all this. Yeah, you know what? It's all bullshit. You know what? We can't believe anything they say. What are they talking about? What are they trying to cover up? I mean, it's all been the same kind of reaction. So you're spot on.
Yep. I don't believe a word they say. I do believe where there's smoke, there's fire. I think there was some kind of emergency this morning. But then again, it could be nothing. The whole stuff about the EU, there was a message from the EU saying the EU was meeting today to deal with replacing whoever, Theresa May or whatever it is. Nothing, you know, nothing to get up in arms about. Probably it was nothing. This so-called journalist just decided to punk us all on Twitter. But again, Pence was on either on his way to New Hampshire or on Air Force Two or ready to go and turned around because there was an issue. There was a what they first said was an emergency. I'll go with that. In the meantime, Donald Trump has not tweeted anything since this all happened, except just a link to the Department of Interior's press release on this year's 4th of July travesty, what to expect this year's annual 4th of July celebration, except the link won't go through because it's a broken link. Or
meanwhile,
now it's up. Now it's coming up.
Oh, now it's up?
Yeah.
Okay, well, angrier White House staff, who's always spot on with things, there's a strong indication that VP's canceled travel plans are related to Iran. Then he says, for what it's worth, it sounds like at least some of the administration is lobbying strongly for Israel to chill out. Above tweet shouldn't be taken as, hey, we're going to war with Iran, though Trump is nuts. So that's always a possibility.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? Oh, God, just stop. Oh, everything should just, can we just like go back to the womb, please? And suck our thumbs in the womb. Anyway, that's all happening. I have more.
Okay.
Oh, would you want to do our tweeties?
Okay, we can. There's a lot.
It just occurred to me that we haven't started.
Let's let loose the birdies. I gotta hold on. Open the cage. Here we go.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
All right. So what else is the Twitters going on about today?
I mean, that was like, you know, a third of my tweets right there. That was because we're all going so insane. This whole week, I mean, you and I have been talking back and forth all week about how insane everything is. And I've been telling you how depressed I am, and you've been telling me how depressed you are. And it's just driving everyone nuts. Okay, so here's something. This is from Adav Noti, or Nati. He's Senior Director, Trial Litigation, and Chief of Staff for Campaign Legal. He said, in a court filing, Ted Cruz says the rule that he can withdraw only $250,000 from his campaign is like telling Rosa Parks to sit in the back of the bus.
Oh, God. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's actually in a legal document.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's so Ted Cruz of him, isn't it?
Being an asshole is Ted Cruz of him.
Yeah, that's, exactly. You know, there you go.
All right.
You broadened it out more than, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Brandi Buckman, she is a court reporter for Courthouse News. She's referring to the 4th of July, what I call the salute to his ego, the politicizing of the Independence Day festivities to please his donors. And she said, white nationalists like the Proud Boys are hoping to benefit from the swell of visitors to D.C. for Trump's personal 4th of July event. Please be safe out there this week, visitors and residents of D.C.
I'm sorry. I think everybody in D.C. should boycott this bullshit spectacle.
You.
I'm looking now at this press release, which wouldn't load earlier today since it was tweeted out. Now it's loaded. Apparently, it was edited yesterday. Because of course they always release things without checking them. So this press release tells us there's going to be the Blue Angels and a spectacular fireworks show and a parade. Marching bands, fife and drum corps, floats, military units, giant balloons like Trump on a toilet, I hope, equestrian, drill teams, and more. Celebrate
Independence
Day.
Oh, they actually are going to do the Trump balloon.
Oh, they are. I thought there was like I know they tried to stop it. Hopefully they
could. Oh, they did? Oh, yeah. Okay. Then I'm not updated. I don't know if they did stop it. They were planning on flying the Trump balloon, the baby Trump balloon.
Yeah. No. And the Trump, the White House, the administration put out a thing saying that what they're going to do. I'm sorry, I completely lost my train of thought. In the schedule events, it's got the parade, it's got then Trump speaking at the Lincoln Memorial, which I'm sorry, the thing about the 4th of July, it was always a nonpartisan thing. Do you remember years ago, it was during the Reagan administration that they put up a fight about the Beach Boys performing, and it got to be this whole big thing with the Secretary of Interior, and finally they were just told to like shove it, and I think the Beach Boys wound up performing. The Reagan administration objected because what, the Beach Boys were subversive or something? It made no sense to me.
Real subversive.
But it was never a political spectacle. It wasn't it had nothing to do with partisan politics. It was a day of patriotism, of celebrating the beginnings of this country. And Donald Trump is hijacking the entire thing and turning it into a Republican party Nuremberg rally.
For his donors. VIP seating for his donors and for his personal people, his favorites.
Yes. So he got tickets to distribute, including VIP tickets to big donors for big dollars. The RNC has tickets to distribute. Guess who didn't get any tickets to distribute?
The Democrats.
Go figure.
Isn't that weird? That's so weird.
Unbelievable.
And also, we found out since, he wanted to have the tanks and they can't go down Pennsylvania Avenue or something because they're too heavy.
Yeah.
Well, so he said, okay, I'll have them stationary. Well, now they're saying, and I don't have the tweet in front of me, but they're saying that even the two stationary tanks or however many there will be will affect the ground beneath the Lincoln Memorial.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it'll weaken that. So, yay.
You know, I always thought this nation had a system of checks and balances where the executive branch is kept in check by the legislative branch, which is Congress. This Congress has proved itself ineffective and is letting this administration get away with whatever the fuck they want. Oh, by the way, Donald Trump assured us that there will be new Sherman tanks. There have not been Sherman tanks since 1957.
Right. And those are the ones that will destroy the Lincoln Memorial ground. So yay. He's just doing, America first. Now it's a system of checks and imbalanced is what
it is.
Unbalanced.
It absolutely is.
Boy. Okay. So speaking of the fourth, so Andrew Weinstein, chair of the Democrats Lawyers Council, said, And he was an Obama White House appointee. He said Barack Obama celebrated the 4th of July at the White House by hosting military families for a barbecue, concert, and fireworks on the South Lawn. This year, Trump is holding a taxpayer-financed political rally for GOP donors and political appointees. Any questions?
Oh, God.
This is just everything. I mean, and this is the least of our problems, but this is just one more authoritarian figure incremental move. You know, it's just one more thing.
Yep.
And here's Walter Schaub, the former director of the Office of Government Ethics, saying the tanks are intended not as a symbol of the nation's might, but of Trump's. Putting them on the People's National Mall is a show of force, but not against a foreign power. As in any would-be authoritarian regime, it's also corrupt. They're a prop for the RNC donors with VIP tickets.
Unbelievable.
He pretty much nailed it right there in that tweet.
Unbelievable. And you know what? He said he was going to have one of these military-style dictator-like parades, and he was told no. He was told no by the city of D.C. He was told no by the Department of Defense. He was told no by everybody. And he's doing it anyway. He steals what he wants.
Anyway.
He's a fucking crook and a grifter and a con man, and this country better realize it before it's too late, if it's not already too late.
Oh, I think it's already too late. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know why people, this is a whole little rant I keep doing, but I'm not sure why everyone keeps talking about this election in the context of a normal election.
Right.
They're treating the news items, the poll watching, all of that is being delivered to us just like it was in 2016 and the year was in the 2012 and so on. It is completely not about that, and people are not waking up to that, and certainly the news isn't framing it as odd and weird and dangerous as it is. They keep mentioning things like, well, Russia's already, continuing its invasion of our elections, but they're not really into panic mode, which I would be if I were a
But then there
person.
Are the people, and there are still some people, actually kicked somebody out of the chat room on Friday, who maintain that Russia was a hoax, that Russia did not interfere in our elections, that that's not proven. And when I asked this person, did you read the Mueller report? He said, well, Glenn Greenwald agrees with me and so-and-so and Noam Chomsky agrees with me. I said, did you read volume one of the Mueller report? You don't believe the Russians try to, quote, meddle with our elections? I don't believe it. It's not a proven fact yet. And I told him to leave.
What does he think all those indictments were?
I don't know. But there's this. I've talked about this before. There's a segment of the so-called left that has gone so far left they come out on the right. These are it's the Glenn Greenwald crowd. It's the what's his name? Jimmy Dore. It's the those people. They're believing the Republican line about Russia. Maybe the Trump campaign didn't collude with the Russians, although I kind of think they did, just by taking the meeting with Natalia Veselnitskaya, that's colluding with the Russians. Sorry.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you got anything actionable out of it or not. The fact that you attempted, if you go in to attempt to rob a bank, but you chicken out at the last minute, doesn't matter. They'll still arrest you and prosecute you for attempted robbery.
People are confusing collusion with the legal definition of conspiracy.
Right.
And the reason he couldn't nail them on conspiracy is because they obstructed him. They wouldn't, show up. They wouldn't tell the truth. They blocked everything he could have gotten that would continue to prove his conspiracy theory. So he wasn't able to. Because people were illegally or they were obstructing justice.
Right.
They were lying. They were not providing the proper documentation or coming in. They would refuse. So he couldn't. How can you prove something when you can't get your witnesses?
Right.
By the way, just a news item. Reuters. The U.S. House Oversight Committee will hold a hearing next week on the treatment of immigrant children.
Okay. Well, good. Not soon enough.
By
the way, the person I kicked out of the chat room is somebody who's been with me on and off since the Air America days. He goes by or something, but his old name was 4 of 9. He's a guy who goes into all these progressive show chat rooms. And, again, somebody that I've been aware of, at least I wouldn't say a friend, but somebody who's been listening for many, many years. But that's bullshit. I kicked Ron Placone off the air when he started in on that shit, too. Oh, there's no proof. Well, you know what? Read the fucking Mueller report.
It's not
That's
hard.
All.
It's right there in front of you. And it's been talked about for months. So,
That's
okay.
Right.
Here's an item, a news item, which, of course, is the obvious one. Trump's 4th of July is from Washington Post. Trump's 4th of July plans just keep getting worse. A, quote, gaudy display of military hardware that is more in keeping with a banana republic than the world's oldest democracy. So one of my followers, I think he's a follower, maybe not. Cooper's my boy said, what time is the salute to draft Dodgers program? I should follow.
Uh-huh.
Person. Lachlan Marquet.
Lachlan Marquet,
Of the Daily Beast.
Mm-hmm.
He was quoting Eric Geller, let me see if I can bring this up, from the New York Times, moving and guarding the tanks would require staffing at a time that many troops were at home for the holidays. Also a problem, the Memorial Bridge, which spans the Potomac River and connects the Arlington National Cemetery and the Lincoln Memorial, might not be able to hold the weight. That's
right.
What I was
They've
telling you.
They've already said that, yes.
Right. So Lachlan Marquet said, I feel like we're all underappreciating the benefits of a capital city with bridges that can't support a tank column. That's a good point.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, it's called infrastructure.
Remember infrastructure?
Yeah,
and, you know, go figure. You know, our bridges can't hold a Sherman tank. Go figure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Mm. Here's something that I haven't heard that many people discuss until now. Exclusive. Democrats investigating whistleblower claims Pompeo's security picked up Chinese food and his dog.
I heard about that. Mm-hmm. Some of his security detail was complaining that they were being treated as the errand boys. Pick up
right,
Chinese food and his dog.
Uber Eats with guns.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Democrats on a key House congressional committee. This is from CNN. Are investigating allegations from a whistleblower within the State Department about Pompeo and his family's use of taxpayer-funded diplomatic security, prompting agents to lament they are at times viewed as Uber Eats with guns. Congressional investigators who ask for the committee not to be named as they care, they ask for the committee not to be named as they carry out their inquiries, tell CNN that a State Department whistleblower has raised multiple issues over a period of months about special agents being asked to carry out some questionable tasks for the Pompeo family. For example, picking up Chinese food without Pompeo in the car.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And also one special agent was given the job of picking up the Pompeo family dog from a groomer.
Right. Right. I need to correct something in the YouTube chat room because the mastermind said Russia didn't change a single vote. They spent $4,500 on Facebook memes. They did more than that. But and then Judy Truitt said this is not a black and white issue. If you follow Greenwald, then you're Russian. That's nuts. I didn't say that at all.
No, you
stop
didn't say
putting
that at
words
all.
In my mouth. For the people who claim Russia did not try to meddle with our election, did not try to fuck with us, that's who I'm talking to. I'm not saying that they were in cahoots. I'm not saying they worked together. I'm just simply saying that Russia attempted to fuck around with our elections, and they're still doing it. Every single intelligence agency in this country agrees on that. The Mueller report, volume one, agrees with that. If you don't agree with it, then your head is in the sand and you're just being a contrarian. Sorry. Okay,
yeah,
that's all.
It's in court papers. They've documented it.
It's in the Mueller report. And I frankly, look, am I thrilled with Mueller? No, hell no. But I believe that this thing was meticulously researched and reported. The problem is lazy people like you didn't read it. That's all.
Right. That's what I'm saying. In the Mueller report, they have documentation of it. They are showing us.
Yep.
They are telling us.
Footnotes and everything.
Well, he'll be in front of the congressional committees.
July 17th. July 17th.
So
it's in my book.
Maybe he'll say it out loud and people will understand
it
better.
I hope so. Yeah. And maybe Ron Placone and Jimmy Dore and the few people who are trying to call me out on on YouTube will understand. Am I saying that the Russians controlled our election? No. Am I saying Trump, you know, conspired with them? No. Although, you know, I believe his family tried to. They were too stupid to do it. In the right criminal way.
Right.
But it doesn't
and
mean
Mueller
they didn't try.
That.
Right. There you
he
go.
He said they were just basically too stupid to pull
inept.
It off.
Exactly. But ignorance of the law, but ignorance is no defense. Sorry. They tried. They just couldn't do it.
There was also one that came out today. I wish I had it memorized, but it was something to the effect of when the Russian trolls got really active, Trump's poll numbers went up. So there was a cause and maybe it wasn't cause and effect. Maybe it was a coincidence. But there are enough coincidences, and I don't think they were, to show us that there was definitely an effect. I'm a firm believer that this was at least a major issue in the election.
I agree.
And then, of course, Hillary wasn't a good candidate. And, of course, a million other things.
Yes,
but
exactly.
This was
but
a factor.
But the fact that the Russians attempted and had some measure of success is true. Do I know exactly what it is? No. But do I know they tried and that they infiltrated our social media and groups and yes. Read the fucking report. Okay, let's move on.
And let me back up. I said Hillary wasn't a good candidate, but she also won by 3 million votes.
That's
so
true.
She was a good enough candidate.
Yeah.
But you know, that's my opinion.
Yep.
Empty wheel. Okay, so she's commenting on Manu Raju saying that Trump says he's looking at delaying the 2020 census very strongly,
yes,
in quotes,
well, they've
because
already,
of the Supreme Court loss over
yes,
the citizenship question.
They've already missed the deadline.
The deadline, yes.
To print the questionnaires. That was, I believe, June 30th. So they've missed the deadline, and Trump is saying, I'll delay it as long as I want to.
Right. And so Empty Wheel said, man named as unindicted co-conspirator, Trump, in crimes tied to cheating to win 2016 election, now threatening to violate the Constitution to win a decade of elections.
Oh, God.
That's what we're up against, guys.
We are.
And he doesn't care what people do or say, because by the time anyone gets around to taking him to court or doing anything that will affect his presidency, he will have done the damage. That's the problem. He just scoffs at us and does what he wants. Here's a little thing that The Hill tweeted out. Americans' pride in the U.S. hits new low from Gallup.
Well, I understand that one.
I can't imagine why that would happen. Jeez, what could possibly be the cause? I have no idea.
Wow.
Well, finally... We have the DNC listening to us a little bit.
We do.
The DNC, this is from, where am I? The Washington Post.
Okay.
The DNC will consider holding a climate debate amid protests.
Oh, my God.
The prospect of a Democratic presidential debate focused on climate change just took a step closer to becoming reality. But such a single issue face-off is still far from being a done deal. The leaders of the DNC have advanced a proposal to host a climate-specific debate after weeks of protests from environmental activists and even some White House hopefuls. The DNC will decide on whether to allow such a debate at its next meeting in August. So at least, you know,
well, I hope they
took
it.
Note.
I hope they do it.
They should do it.
Yes, there's a lot of things they should do. The Democratic Party should get its shit together. Stop trying to decide who is going to be the nominee. Let the people decide. And I could go on and on, but I won't bore
yeah.
you.
Yeah, we could. We both could. That could take
yes,
a show.
We could. Yes, we could.
So our buddy, you're my buddy, Twin Mom Sue on Twitter.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, she said, and we both took note of this, the last thing that goes through my mind every night before I wake up in a cold sweat is Trump compromising Pence into resigning, appointing Ivanka as VP,
mm-hmm.
then resigning the office with a full pardon from the first female president, nepotism
oh, God.
Barbie.
Oh, God. Oh, there would be an uprising like we've never seen before. I think that might be one bridge too far, however the saying goes.
We can imagine it happening.
We can. This one, though, I think even Republicans believe this one is too much. I don't think they would stand for it. Although, when it comes to the Trumps, I could be wrong. I always am.
Baby Trump blimp approved to fly over Trump July 4th events.
Yes. Okay. That's the best news I've heard all day.
That's the Chiron on MSNBC
oh,
right now.
Awesome. Yes.
And it's real big and blue and white.
Uh-huh. Good. That is awesome. I love it. Now, if we could only get the Trump on the toilet.
That's
tweeting. And I forget. He says a few things like, excuse me. And run. Whatever.
Hickenlooper's in trouble.
Yes.
His campaign
oh
is
God.
In shambles. It says, this is from Politico. Hickenlooper's senior team urged him last month to withdraw from the presidential race gracefully and run for Colorado Senate seat
yep.
or pursue other opportunities because
yep.
his staffers are leaving.
Yes, almost all of them, apparently.
Yeah.
And then he made some asinine comment. Well, you know, oftentimes it's you know, a presidential candidate succeeds not with his original staff or some shit like that,
oh,
just
yeah,
throwing
yeah.
everyone under the bus.
But this, I saw him on TV. I'll tell you in a minute. But
okay.
Tom Bryson, Mr. TSB, who follows me, said justified opposing much of progressive agenda because Republicans would accuse the Democrats of being socialist, stupid and cowardly. Hickenlooper was on TV today. I forgot who was interviewing him. It might have been Hallie Jackson. I've forgotten. Maybe it was Andrea Mitchell. But he sounded like totally defeated. He was saying, she was saying, like, you know, well, people are leaving your campaign. Oh, no, no. But see, we did that. We've done that before. And we won, you know. Yeah. And then she said, well, yeah, but, you know, this is happening. And you're in the toilet with the ratings. And, you know, no, no, but it's all real good. Everything. Yeah. And he sounded like, yeah, everything's just great.
Great. There was Bill Maher of late has totally jumped the shark.
He has.
More and more, it's like, why do I even watch this guy? It's just more habit than anything else.
Well, I like his guests. I watch him for the people he has on.
But he did one thing Friday night that I agreed with him on. Mm-hmm. He eliminated 10 candidates.
Yes.
Let me share this with you because I'm a plus one on. Here we go.
Look, there's too many people in this race.
Yes, there are.
Right?
Yes.
So we saw them last night and the night before. I think tonight, I'll give you veto rights, but I'm going to get rid of 10 of them right now. Is that okay? Can we just feel? Okay.
Let's do it.
And if you disagree, just say, but okay, this guy, Hickenlooper, nice guy. No, get out.
No.
Okay.
Bye.
Nice guy, get the fuck out. Okay. This is Michael Bennett. You know, if you Google Michael Bennett, the first five that come up aren't even this guy. Get the fuck out. Okay. Vice Principal Delaney, nice guy again, another year. Get out. Tim Ryan, I think he said one good thing. No.
No.
I like it. No. Kirsten Gillibrand.
No.
Al Franken says hello.
Oh, yes.
Eric
Swalwell,
I like him, but, you know, too young. Looked like he was wearing a toupee last night. Get the fuck out. Marianne Williamson.
Wait. We need to get. No. She was never supposed to be there.
Who?
The crazy hippie lady. Yeah, no. I heard that there were too many Democrats. She snuck through security. She got herself on stage. Rachel Maddow was just too overwhelmed. They didn't notice.
Okay. She said a great thing about health care that I'm going to try to
read after
the show.
Yep.
I mean, during the show. But Andrew Yang, really smart guy.
Sorry, he's in for all the debates.
The wrong
business. For the next
Beto,
four, anyway.
I like Beto a lot. I talked to him for
Bye, Beto.
Bye.
You're done.
You want him still in?
Well,
should I?
Done.
He reminds my daughter of a youth pastor, so I feel badly.
You can have that picture.
Okay.
But he's not doing good. He's not looking good.
Bye-bye, Beto.
It's not going well.
And this guy starts spreading the news.
Bill de Blasio is his 10.
You're leaving today. Okay.
So you notice he keeps Tulsi Gabbard, which I found interesting.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. You're right. He did.
Yeah. So there are some who would switch out Tulsi for Beto. But frankly, I like his list. Beto, go home. Run for Senate.
I wish he would.
He
would, and I wish Hickenlooper would. Just do what you're better suited for. Here's a tweet from God.
Yeah?
The good God above.
Right, right.
If you think AOC doesn't deserve to be in government because she was a bartender, but Trump deserves to lead the government because he was on a TV show, then I think you no longer deserve the right to vote because you're an idiot.
Okay. By the way, I was remiss. David just walked in here and reminded me he wasn't going to oust Tulsi. Tulsi was on his show that night. He was the first guest.
Oh,
you know, he
that's
does an
right.
interview before the panel. She was the interview. So he's not going to kick her off the island while she's on his show because they come back and do the overtime thing.
You're right, though. I'd forgotten about that.
Me too.
Okay, so here's a couple from
I got to say, the people in the chat room are saying that Maher was rude to Tom Hartman. Hartman couldn't get a word in edgewise. He was
he
on the
couldn't.
Week before. He couldn't, but it wasn't Maher's fault. It was Liz Mayer. That woman needs a muzzle in her mouth or something. She needed to shut the fuck up.
You know, there's always one in every show.
Horrible.
And it's usually a Republican
always.
Who talks over everybody. And then there's always one good guest that you're dying to hear more from that allows themselves to be talked over. I mean, I would be screaming and say, let me in. You know, I'm going to talk now.
Yep.
So you've talked enough. Let me say something.
Right.
But they don't. They're too polite.
Right.
Okay,
and Maher didn't go out of his way to try to give Tom Hartman any time and to shut Liz Mayer up. But she's the one who was guilty there. By the way, extra shout out to Greg in the YouTube chat room who said, I got booted out of Maher chat room when I asked if he was going to release the Maher Ann Coulter sex tape. Because, you know, there's that rumor.
Man.
Okay, sorry.
Which he denies, but
of course.
Kyle Cheney or Cheney of Politico says members like Matt, how do you say his name? Gates. Devin Nunes and Andy Biggs are among the 25 Republicans who get to grill Mueller. Louis Gohmert has hated Mueller for more than a decade and told us he considers Mueller an anal opening. He'll also get 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. Yes. And Louis Gohmert is the one who famously said, do not cast dispersions on my asparagus.
Yes, yes. Okay, so you did the AOC. Well, I'm going to read them again because they deserve reading.
Okay.
Oh, and I'm going to quickly insert this tweet before I get into AOC. The Daily Beast tweeted out, Center for American Progress puts Think Progress up for sale.
I saw that. Gee, it's not making them enough money. Well, maybe because people like me don't really go to Think Progress much because of its a relationship with the Center for American Progress. If someone else took it over, for instance, you know, somebody who works there, one of the writers there who I like, Igor Volsky, perhaps. I don't think he's there
he's
anymore.
Fantastic. He's fantastic.
I don't think
there
he's
anymore.
There anymore. Ian, somebody, I'm losing because I don't go there often.
Ian Millhiser.
Ian Millhiser. He's good. But again, I like him, but I don't like Think Progress because of their relationship with the Center for American Progress. Maybe if they split up and went their separate ways, Think Progress could go back to doing good work again.
I agree. Okay, so AOC tweeted, now I've seen the inside of these facilities. It's not just for kids. It's everyone. People drinking out of toilets, officers laughing in front of members of Congress. I brought it up to their superiors. They said, officers are under stress and act out sometimes.
Oh, God.
No accountability. And then she goes on, CBP made us check our phones, but one woman slipped me this packet and she holds up a little tiny packet the size of one of those ketchup packets that you get at McDonald's or something. She holds it up and she goes, but one woman slipped me this packet to take with me. It says shampoo, but she told me that this is all they give women to wash their entire body. Nothing else. Some women's hair was falling out. Others had gone 15 days without taking a shower.
Oh my God. This is us. This is the United States of America. This is how they treat people who came here looking for asylum. This
Can
is sickening.
This?
And anybody who sticks up for this kind of behavior, shame on you. This is the most depressing, horrific thing. The United States of America is supposed to be better than that. And now we're worse than that.
Or anyone that stays silent. Let's include the Republicans who stay silent.
It's true. Staying silent is being complicit. I'm sorry. This is not acceptable. It's just, frankly, sickening. It's got to change. And then you have the Trump people saying, oh, it's horrible. And then you have Trump saying it's Obama's fault. His whole nonsense with whoever he was interviewed by when he started in with that started under Obama. I ended separations. This man is looking you in the eye, America, and lying to your face, saying that Obama started the family separations. It wasn't him. He's the one who ended it. The man is a fucking liar. God.
And Randy Buckman just tweeted out that the hearing will cover reports of unaccompanied children, many of them separated from their families in overcrowded, filthy conditions. Racist, sexist, and xenophobic Facebook posts reportedly by current and former Border Patrol agents, and a report issued this morning by the DHS Inspector General on dangerous overcrowding and prolonged detention of children. So they're going to cover all of that in the hearing next week.
Good. Well, it's about time. This cannot be allowed to go on. The reports we're getting out of Homestead here in Florida, out of Texas, and everywhere they have these concentration camps, and that's exactly what they are. They are concentrating large numbers of these refugees in small camps. They are denying them of basic human needs. They're denying them showers and running water. They're telling, oh my God, the whole thing is unconscionable.
And the children will be damaged for life.
Well, of course, they already are.
Yes.
It's just sickening. I've never been so ashamed of my country in my life. And as I do regularly on Twitter, to the rest of the world, we apologize. This is not us. But if things don't change soon, we're going to have to do something and take matters into our own hands. And that's what I fear. I think that's
what I fear too.
That day is coming.
I do. Yeah.
Oy. Okay. I got to tell you, tomorrow we're going to run over a little bit, a couple minutes here, because I fought with myself on this. But, you know, Joy Reid has a new book out.
Mm-hmm.
To make a long story short, she'll be here tomorrow.
Oh.
It could be very good or it could not be. Joy and I go way back, so we'll see what happens, to quote my least favorite person on the planet. We'll see what happens. We'll do it live. We'll see what happens. Tune in tomorrow. Joanne Reed on the program.
I hope it all turns out good.
Thank you. I do too.
Yeah.
And with that, gotta laugh. We'll see you on the Twitters, honey, and back here next week. All right.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye, everyone. See you back here tomorrow. It'll be good or not. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.